I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Mark Haas, Association for Enterprise Growth, Steve Robbins, Lurch, Early, and Brewer, Richard Levick, Levick Communications, Karina Bedour, Colliers, and John Shuhart, Graybeard Coaching. John, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
Sure. Our first guest is Matt Wixon, president of Bookstore Movers. Then we'll talk with Nick Gehrig, co-managing partner of Redmond, Peyton, and Braswell. Our third guest is Adam Posen, president of Peterson Institute for International Economics. And our last guest is Jeff Gallagher, the CEO of the Virginia Biotechnology Association.
Well, let's get to know Matt Wixon, president of Bookstore Movers. Matt, what is Bookstore Movers? What are you guys doing?
We're a residential and commercial movement company.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Arlington, Virginia.
How many brothers and sisters?
I've got one younger brother.
One younger brother. Uh-huh. And tell us about the difference between the two of you guys when you were kids.
Sure. I was a bookish, gentle child, and he was a relentless gadfly.
You were a give me that again. You were a bookish, gentle child, huh? Uh-huh. Steve, what kind of questions you got there?
In your business, Matt, how many employees do you have?
We have about 90.
And you said you were a bookish, gentle child. So how do you go from being a bookish child to running a company of 90? And what did you learn from the books?
Sure. The books, I think, kindled in me a sense of curiosity and empathy. And I used that to get to know all of my employees, to try and figure out what motivates them, to make sure they understand that I don't just see them as cogs in our system, but I, you know, genuinely care about how they.
Richard, what do you think? Richard,
so Matt, you talked a lot about being a bookish child. What did you read as a kid, and how did you share that information?
Sure, I read all sorts of things: westerns, adventure books, mysteries, certainly some history as well. And how did I...
Who'd you share them with?
I talked to my uncles about it a lot, my parents as well. My parents sort of had a rule that they would read to me anytime I asked. So sometimes I'd ask them to read the same book to me over 50 times.
All right, so what's the effect of your parents willing to read to you as a young kid? You're talking to everybody, your uncles, and about the books you're reading. What's that have to do with your building this business?
I think that it comes down to problem solving.
Yeah, and collaboration. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a lot of turnover in your company?
We have very little.
Why do you have little turnover? Is it because of the collaborative environment? The fact that you talk to everybody?
Inviting folks to join in sort of a daily innovation and sort of recreation of our company culture.
And this is a residential moving company you're bringing these philosophies to? That's fascinating. Karina?
Age 8 to 14, Matt, what was probably your favorite book?
Probably the collected stories of Sherlock Holmes.
Why is that?
I enjoyed the process of working, the investigation itself, and ultimately the generally satisfying conclusion.
The problem solving. How do you kind of work that into your business today?
I mean, I feel like any good leader shares roles with a detective. And, you know, has to, like, you know, sometimes face, like, a somewhat seemingly intractable puzzle and has to break it down into understandable pieces.
So you get a lot of joy out of solving mysteries and solving puzzles at work.
Yeah.
Makes sense in a residential moving company.
That's fascinating. Mark?
If you had time to write a book right now, what would that book be?
I would love to try to do a locked room mystery and come up with something, a solution to a murder mystery that, is somehow unprecedented. I don't think I'd do it particularly well, though.
Uh-huh. How do you think the philosophy and the idea behind that relates to how you run your company?
In terms of the daily innovation part, we're always trying to come up with something new, some little way that we can improve a system.
Wait, hold on for a second. You're running a residential moving company, and you're talking about every day you're trying to come up with what kind of innovations is there in a moving company?
Well, we've built our own software system that sort of coordinates our scheduling and our estimates and all of our different crews, because one of the big problems we face is that we have 20 different crews out all throughout the city, and we have to stay in touch.
Do you involve your crews in these innovations?
Yeah, we have regular meetings.
But they're just moving guys.
I think that's why we hold on to our people, is because we see them as more than just people that lift heavy stuff.
So you're telling me that you're sitting down with your guys. What other kinds of innovations are you causing? What else do you involve your team in?
Some things are simple, like trying to figure out bonuses that will sort of best keep people energized. But a lot of it comes down to constantly improving our training and our mentoring, because new guys don't naturally know the right way to do things, and it can be a dangerous profession.
So this training and this mentoring, who's providing the training and the mentoring?
We have a few senior crew chiefs who have a lot of experience and have some proficiency in it.
Why would they want to bother doing that?
I think you get a sense of satisfaction when you get to see someone mature into leadership. And so I think they enjoy helping folks along.
Ah,
something I enjoy too.
Uh-huh. John.
So as a kid, who was your first mentor?
Strange enough, it's probably my piano teacher, Mrs. Roussard. But not because she actually taught me piano. In fact, I would just go there every day, and she'd tell me stories. And then right at the end of the hour, I'd play a few scales, and she'd give me some candy, and I'd go home.
Why was she so influential?
She was a great storyteller.
So what from her shows up at work every day?
I think I realized that I need to keep people interested, whether it's at our meetings or when it comes down to memos. It's very easy for all those things to get lost in all the noise. So I try to keep our people entertained and make things actually seem germane to them.
So when were you, as a kid, when did you first try to keep people interested or entertained?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it was very hard for me to find a space where I felt comfortable doing that. So maybe it was around at my grandparents' farm, where I was surrounded by my cousins and I felt like I was in a safe space.
And how did that show up? What showed up?
I think when I was around people, I was very comfortable. I could finally talk about whatever crazy ideas I had or whatever book I read.
Isn't that the way you run the business?
It is. It is now. But
it sounds to me like you've developed a team that you feel safe with.
Yeah.
That's not typical a business environment, let alone a residential moving company.
Yeah, we're unusual.
Why?
Some of that comes down to just our origins. It's a weird concept for a moving company, a company that was founded to save up money to buy a little independent used bookstore. And so we, from the very beginning, we attracted different sorts of employees, people that were thrilled by that idea or people that were similarly, bibliophiles.
And you're thinking that the behavior that began to exhibit with you and your cousins on the farm, as you began to feel comfortable with the group and safe with the group, is the same kind of stuff that's coming out nowadays?
Yeah, I work really hard to make our people feel like it's a place where they can share any idea, however crazy it is, any thoughts they have of, improving the company, treating our employees better, our clients better.
Wait a minute, but aren't you the boss? You could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I'm wrong all the time.
Doesn't that feel bad? Don't you feel threatened or angry?
No, I have a 16-month-year-old son, and so, I'm aware that I'm wrong all the time because I have no idea what I'm doing with him. And I just, you know, you learn as you go.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being a CEO?
Feeling overwhelmed at times, but also I think maybe just the, God, I feel like for both of them I share like a rapturous fatigue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who's got the right next question? Who's
How
got
much
it?
Do you read to your son?
I read to him as much as I can. Mm-hmm. His mood, he's a somewhat capricious child. I think all kids are at that age, so I never know what he'll want to read. And sometimes we read the same book.
Karina, what do you got?
What happened to the dream of buying the used bookstore?
We just bought it about a month ago.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Steven?
Matt, when you were a kid, did you have a lot of friends?
I did. But I probably still love my books more.
Mm-hmm. And even though you loved your books more, it sounds like from all the things we've heard that you actually have the tendency to be a real leader. Wouldn't you agree?
I do, although I feel like somehow it came to me late in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounded to me like you had to feel safe with the people you're hanging around, and then you're comfortable voicing your opinion mm-hmm. and really causing an environment to occur. You know, and what's the website address of this organization known as Bookstore Movers?
Bookstoremovers.com.
By the way, is there a website for the new bookstore that you purchased?
Yes, that's CapitolHillBooks-DC.com.
Let me have that one more time.
CapitolHillBooks-DC.com. Because there's another Capitol Hill Books in Denver.
And the bookstore and the moving company's website is?
BookstoreMovers.com.
We've been speaking with Matt Wixon, who's the president of Bookstore Movers here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And we'll be back in a moment right after this break. Nice interview.
Good.
And your name and organization is?
I'm Amy Kress. I'm the Senior Director of Marketing and Communications for Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
So what are you supposed to be doing in your job as Senior Director of Marketing Communications of Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia?
Making sure that everybody knows about the services available to the community. And we touch every department, every mm-hmm. program, and spreading the word.
What do you really enjoy about your job?
I enjoy managing a team.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
So developing talent, cultivating new leaders, and the most satisfying thing is when someone that I have managed goes on to greater and better things.
Wait a second. So you're telling me on one hand, the function you're supposed to perform is the communication stuff, but what you really enjoy is developing the team, and you like it when you develop somebody and they leave?
Yeah, it's a pay-it-forward mentality, I guess.
You have any kids?
I do. I have 10-year-old twins.
What's the similarity between being a mom and being the senior director of marketing communications at Easter Seals?
So management, like parenting, is not one size fits all.
What are you talking about?
Well, my kids couldn't be more different from each other, even though they're twins.
You have twins, so you have a boy and a girl?
A boy and a girl, yeah.
Okay, keep on going. The similarity and differences.
So, yeah, just like, same rules, same structure, same environment, but my kids respond differently to different parenting tactics.
So what's that have to do with helping mentor the team and build the team at Easter Seals?
So one of the first things I do when someone starts with my team is I want to know where they want to be in 5 years and how I can help them get there. And different people respond to different carrots and sticks when it comes to management. How you give feedback, how you respond to them.
It sounds like you're the master mother at home as well as at work. What's the website address for Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia?
ESEAL.org, E-S-E-A-L. Org.
We've been speaking with Amy Kress, Senior Director of Marketing Communications of Easter Seals, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Nick Urig, who is the co-managing partner of an organization known as Redmond, Payton, and Braswell. What is Redmond, Payton, and Braswell?
We're a general practice law firm in Alexandria, 17 attorneys.
Where are you from originally?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
And what were you like 8 to 14 years old?
I consider myself an introvert, shy, but...
What kind of sports did you play?
Soccer.
What was your role on the team?
I was a fullback.
What's that tell us about your personality?
Well, I guess I'm defensive-oriented, and I wasn't the best on the team, technically, but I strive myself to be at the right place at the right time and anticipate where the offense was going.
So how's that help you build a legal practice? What's that personality trait have to do with building a legal practice?
I think from just about everything that we do, because the legal practice is an adversarial system, although I hope it kind of shouldn't be, but is to just try to anticipate what the opponent is going to do and try to do the best that you can to put your client in the best position.
So do you really see a parallel between, you know, your personality with the soccer and what you're doing nowadays, or am I making that up?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Steven?
Nick, as a kid from Pittsburgh, tell me, what kind of activities did you undertake that really help you now being a managing partner of a law firm?
Well, I'd say the sports definitely did help.
Other than sports.
I was involved in a program, National History Day, and which
what,
I...
What was your role in them? What was that?
I conducted some of the research and interviewed one of our projects was the integration of the Little Rock High School,
Richard?
Little Rock 9.
Richard?
So you described a childhood, Nick, where you talk about staying close to home, being an introvert. Talk more about the Little Rock 9. Is that the first experience you had with the broader world?
Yeah, I'd say to many extents. I mean, where I grew up, it was predominantly, it wasn't very diverse, but to see that there were other people that had gone through struggles just to do things that I kind of took for granted, and to listen to their stories and hear them and learn from them.
Why would you bother listening to that stuff?
Well, everybody has a different experience, and I think that you can learn from that experience, and that betters who you are as a person.
Wait. So you're telling me that you were interested in folks that may have been disadvantaged as opposed to who had the nicer car in the neighborhood?
Well, obviously everybody wants to take a look at the nicer car in the neighborhood and, you know, think about it, but it's hard not to think about the things that I took for granted and realize, hey, maybe I shouldn't be aspiring as much to those and think about these other
people.
John,
what are you thinking?
Yeah, besides your parents, when you were a kid, who was the most important influence on you?
Family friend Ron Spinelli.
What's special about Ron?
Ron taught me how to play golf. I think what was remarkable about Ron is that he had a passion for golf. And even though he had MS, which was it's a degenerative disease, and he couldn't walk without assistance, and he couldn't even drive using his feet, he still had the tenacity to get up and go out and play golf every day and even teach me how to do it.
So how's that affecting you? How's that affecting you nowadays?
I'd say that anytime you meet an obstacle, you know, if you have the passion and the drive to get over it, and you continue to do it, you continue to get up and do those things that you love.
How does that show up today at Redmond, Payton, and Braswell?
Well, I've been at the same firm my whole career, so I obviously like the people that I'm with, and I respect and love them. And I love what I do because I like helping people. I like listening to them.
Wait a second. You respect and love them? This is a law firm, and it says you're co-managing partner or something. You're talking about love at work in a law firm?
Yeah, it's. I guess we're a little unusual to some extent now. The middle name, Payton, is actually the middle name of my daughter, my first daughter, firstborn daughter. So that's just how close we are. I think even though we're an independent collection of lawyers, I think we just really appreciate each other.
Pretty bonded. John?
Yeah, if you could, or if Ron Spinelli was alive today, what would you tell him?
I tell him I wish that I had kept trying to play golf because I'm horrible at it. And if he were still around, maybe he could.
Karina, what are you thinking?
But I tell him thank you.
Karina,
tell me what mom and dad did.
My father was an investment banker, a CPA. He was kind of more of an angel investor. He was CFO of the Pittsburgh Brewing Company and a couple other companies like that. My mom stayed home with us until I was about five, and then she went back to school to get a degree in, a master's in psychology and opened up a private practice.
Which one are you more like? Who are you more like?
I think I get the empathy, the intuition, and listening skills from my mother, and some more of the business sense from my father.
And how do those two show up today as a parent and as a co-manager, managing director?
I think those are the skills that, you know, and also in the practice of law, just in general, I think those are the skills that are vital.
Mark?
If you had the time to engage in some activity that reflected what matters to you most, what would that be?
Someday, when my kids are grown and I can do it, I would like to take on an Innocence Project activity, try to get somebody who's been wrongfully convicted out of jail.
Okay. How does that make you feel as far as being...
Yeah, why would you bother doing that?
Why would I bother doing that? Well, it's a wrong. There's so many injustices, and that's just one of them. But there are so many people who are behind bars for any number of reasons, and their story hasn't been told, primarily because the system, the balance, the need for money to be able to defend somebody is too great for most people to bear. So that's why a lot of people end up getting...
Stephen?
So, Nick, as a managing partner of a law firm, I'm interested in that because I also serve in a similar role. What is it about you and what is it about your DNA that makes people look at you and say, I want this guy to be the managing partner of our law firm?
I've asked myself that question at times. I think it's my ability to strive to listen to everybody and take everybody into account and what we're doing. It doesn't matter what your role is, as long as you're there, you've got a voice and your voice is equal. And just I may not always succeed, but to try to put all those.
Richard, what else are you thinking?
Figure out the best.
You know, Nick, I'm so impressed with the inspiration of your youth. Just wondering a favorite quote that you live with today.
My favorite quote, and it has been for some time, is every man that I meet, and it should really be every person that I meet. I think that that's something that should change with the quote. But the quote as it is every man that I meet is in some way my superior, and in that I can learn from him. And I think that's very true.
Why? Why is that so important to you?
Because everybody brings something different to the table. We all have different experiences, different perspectives. And what I learned just back from talking to in the Little Rock 9 project was that, you know, everybody approaches things differently, and there's value there. There's value to all of those perspectives.
It sounds like it's also one of the reasons you appreciate Ron Spinelli. Am I correct about that?
Yes. His passion and his tenacity and just how he was different, but... but he made me value something and see how much he valued it and how to keep going.
So you try to find something in everybody that you can learn from and that you can respect.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I bet you keep your clients a long time, too, don't you, because you're really caring. What's the website address of this organization?
Our website is rpb-law.com.
Let me have that one more time.
rpb-law.com.
We've been speaking with your name again?
Nick Garrick.
And what's your title there?
Co-managing partner
of Redmond, Payton, and Braswell. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
I'd say we nailed that.
Attention investors. Respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
If you missed open enrollment for Obamacare and are without health insurance, I have good news for you. Hello, this is Carrie Hall, America's healthcare advocate and the president of Benefits by Design. The federal government has reopened enrollment for Obamacare health insurance beginning March 15th, which means you can apply for health insurance with one of our licensed exchange certified agents who will walk you through the process to see if you qualify for a subsidy that could pay for all or part of your health insurance. And how much does using one of our licensed agents cost you? Nothing. That's right, it costs you nothing, and we're there to help you 24/7 after you enroll. So don't miss this second chance. Call 913-385-2224. That's 913-385-2224 or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com. Once again, that phone number, 913-385-2224 or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from tax
tax mediation services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Adam Posen, who's the president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Adam, what is the Peterson Institute for International Economics?
It's a small nonprofit organization that tries to improve economic policy for the U.S. and the global world. We use evidence to try to persuade the public and officials of the right things to do.
How large or how small is this organization?
65 full-time employees, another 12 or 15 part-time, and a $12 million budget. Please contribute.
Why are you doing this?
It matters a great deal to keep people employed, keep people free from excessive government interference, and keep people's potential capable of being fulfilled, and good economic policy can do all that.
What's good economic policy? What's that mean?
Good economic policy is not always knowing the right thing, but avoiding the wrong things and trying to be evidence-based and change policies when you know things are not working.
All right. It sounds to me like you like probing for the truth. How young were you when truth became important to you? And give me an example.
My parents were both physical scientists, and so I heard a lot from them about the idea that you have a lot of power in a good way if you understand the world, but you can't pretend that the world is the way you want it just because you want it to be. You have to look at the facts. And that started with me just figuring out how to do even little simple tasks at home.
Like what?
Bailing out the basement when the washing machine flooded, or showing up in science class and when the teacher was telling the kids to write whatever they want, saying, no, you can't write negative numbers for density. That doesn't make any sense.
So it's all about the truth for you. Mark?
What character or principle is important to you?
I think it's about engagement with the substance and intellectual honesty. In my narrow piece of the world, those are the linchpins.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when that became important? Give an example.
When I was in high school, I was taking a course on European history that affected me a lot, and I was asked to do a paper about a French revolutionary figure who wanted to get things done, and I was trying to be very objective about what he thought he was doing versus what he actually did.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
Adam, you speak about a great deal about the truth and how important that is to you. We're at a time where truth is under challenge like no other time in our lifetime. What gives you the strength? What from your childhood gives you the courage every day to march forward?
The courage has to be partly motivated by indignation that people deny facts, and it partly has to be motivated by excitement when you actually feel you understand something and have reason for it. And then most of all, it has to be because you feel the truth is in some sense useful. But you got to admit that there's a lot of frustration today because people simply don't get listened to, experts get ignored, or evidence gets overturned.
Stephen?
Adam, what kind of things did you do and did you enjoy doing when you were a young kid?
I did a little bit of tennis and swimming, but my main things were reading, talking about it with my parents, and then sort of make-believe with young friends on, like, Star Trek or World War II movies, things like that.
And when you say make-believe, how does that translate into what you do today, especially since you're such a seeker of the truth?
Well, a lot of things, as it would be for any young kid then, is the sense of mission. If you think about Star Wars, it's all about the mission. And that's what I try to convey to my employees and colleagues, and that's, I think, what sets us apart.
Mm-hmm. Karina?
Who are some of the influence, other than your parents, from your childhood that you bring into your adulthood?
I think there were people around me in public life. I grew up outside Boston, and there were people like the former Congressman Barney Frank, who was a very big example. There were people who, at public television in the local area who were producing really exciting shows. It was even Julia Child. She was a local Cambridge figure. And I lived next door, and you could see someone who was putting themselves out there and being results-oriented and being open.
What about what influence did they bring that you carry into your adulthood, into your role today?
That it is very important to be authentic, but authenticity isn't just about blurting out whatever you say. It's also partly hard work, checking your facts, being accurate.
John?
Mm-hmm. Adam, earlier we were talking before the show, you made fun of yourself several times. How young were you when you realized that making fun of yourself was a great thing to do?
I think I was pretty self-important well through high school, but there was a radical shift at the end of high school, and so since then I've been a third-rate stand-up comic.
And so what prompted that shift?
I like to think of it as maturing. In the green room, you spoke about the idea that did I consider myself different from other kids, and I think I did a lot when I was very young, and that was totally mistaken, and I got over it.
John?
How does that show up today at the Peterson Institute for International Economics?
I think it shows up by the idea that everybody's there has subject to very high standards, but as long as anybody meets that standard from whatever background, whatever their personality, whatever their point of view, then I want them to succeed. And so it's very open, it's very demanding, but it's totally up to the people to make the most of it.
Mark? What do you think?
Principle and mission are very important at the Peterson Institute. Can you give me an example where something you did that stood on those principles you're really proud of?
I'll give you two. Right now, we're dealing with the trade wars that President Trump and various people in both parties want to have. And even though it makes us unpopular, we're out there talking about what this really will cost in terms of people's jobs and more expensive objects and not pretending. Another example was we get funding from some global corporations, and we stand up to them. So there was one major company that wanted to keep it illegal for the U.S. to export natural gas because it was essentially a subsidy to them. And we said, no, we're going to publish and explain why this is a bad idea, just like it would be restricting exports of pork or cars. And, you know, we faced the risk they would just pull their funding, and we just did it anyway.
So how young were you when this courage began to show up, 8 to 14? Well, give us an example.
Well, I think between 8 to 14, it was more foolhardy or arrogant courage, but that was good because I was willing to show off new ideas. And so one of the things I did right through grad school was tend to write stuff with different methods or different conclusions than a lot of academics liked.
Uh-huh. So you enjoy the intellectual discourse.
I do, but I and a lot of my colleagues are people who don't really enjoy a lot of things that go with being in the academy. The academy is a lot about status seeking. The academy is a lot about being clever for its own sake. The academy has a lot of, I mean, there are brilliant, brilliant people there, but it has a lot of competitive aspects that we don't like.
Huh. Richard, what do you think? What else do you think?
Adam, earlier you mentioned your love of science fiction as a child, particularly Star Trek and Star Wars. So much of that science fiction comes out of the 50s when it was necessary to send messages through science fiction. What was your favorite Star Trek or Star Wars episode and why? What was the message that you were picking up?
I think that's a great observation. I think one of the wonderful things about Star Trek, both the original and later, were its messages about inclusion and finding new places and being science-based. I particularly loved, as a young child, the one called The Conscience of the King, which was Kirk doing his best Shakespearean Hamlet thing, but trying not to overstep interfering with another culture, but standing up for what he thought was right.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, Karina, what are you guys thinking?
You know, Adam, listening to you, it sounds like you spent a large part of your life trying to either prove that something is right or prove that something is wrong. And I'm curious, when you were young, and I would guess that when you were young, you oftentimes questioned either teachers or your professors, and how that has grown into your life as a, you know, economics genius, basically.
Well, I don't know about that. And I appreciate the word proving, but in economics, it's much easier to prove a negative, and even then it's hard than to prove a positive. It's not physical science, but you got to be humble in that sense. I was not very popular with my teachers through high school and into college.
And why was that?
A little too much questioning, a little too obnoxiously. And what I've tried to do is create at the Peterson Institute, build on the founders' environment, that it's a lot of questioning of each other, but it's mutual and nobody's bullying anybody.
Karina, what else are you thinking?
What does your wife say is the best thing about you?
My wife, at early stage in our dating, said one of the things she liked about me was that I was very evidence-based. I was always ready, if not eager, to admit I was wrong. I was always willing to change my mind if I saw different things. And that both made me feel very good, but also convinced me I was marrying the right person.
Wow. Why?
Because as she and I joke, we both use numlock. She came from a research background. She was involved in politics, but it wasn't just nerdiness. It was the idea that you're humble before the evidence, you care about what's real and not what's theory, and that you don't put your ego in front of trying to understand.
John, what are you thinking?
So you said earlier you were a history buff as a kid. What history lesson do you worry that we're repeating?
Well, the obvious one is the 1930s, that when people get very nationalist, or I would say nativist, distrusting people who don't look like them or don't come from the same background, and that starts to influence how you view the world, both economically and security. And a lot of countries around the world right now are doing that, and that led to very bad things in the 1930s.
So you're a student of history for the purpose of studying history?
No, I'm you know, it's a bad term now to call somebody a social engineer, but I'm much more an engineer than a scientist. I'm all about what would work and what's practical.
So you like thinking about what will work and what's practical.
I try. I'm not very handy in the physical world, but in the policy world, I used to work for central banks like the Federal Reserve, and a lot of my colleagues have done similar things, and so we tend to be pretty hands-on in that sense.
What's the website address for the Peterson Institute for International Economics?
PIIE.com.
Let me have that one more time.
PIIE.com.
We've been speaking with Adam Posen, president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Be back in a moment, right after this break.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And your name and organization is?
Yeah, my name's Chris Tully. My business is called Sales Acceleration.
And what are you guys doing, Chris?
We provide outsourced sales leadership services to small and mid-sized businesses.
Uh-huh. Tell me, how young were you when this sales thing or when this personality trait showed up 8 to 14-ish in you as a kid?
I think it probably relates to my experience as a competitive swimmer growing up. I was never the fastest kid, but I was always a kid that could work with other people to help figure out who was going to swim which stroke so the team could win.
All right. Now, what's that have to do with the sales thing that you're doing?
It has everything to do with sales. I think that for many businesses, the challenge is figuring out what's the best thing for each person to do, and then how do you get them to do that thing so the business succeeds.
And give me how's that go back to the swimming stuff you did?
Well, I think, you know, if you're a swimmer, you get a choice. You can either swim your stroke and be an individual contributor, or you can be part of a team. You can be on a relay team or a variety of other constructs in the team. And so what I figured out as I got older, my ability to compete as an individual contributor became tougher and tougher. But I found out that if we could collaborate together, if me and the three other guys I was close to could swim together, we could win almost all the time.
So you're telling me that you're not just helping tune up, and I could be mistaken, that you're not just helping tune up the salespeople, you're helping the management tune up their management as well. Am I right about that?
That's exactly right. I started this business because I wanted to take what I'd learned over 30 years of leading sales organizations to help a group of people that would really benefit from proven sales strategies. And for me, it's really all about helping other people get what they want.
Huh. So it's interesting. So it's helping the salespeople be more successful and also helping the management be more effective. Am I correct about that?
That's exactly right.
What's the website address of your organization?
It's salesacceleration.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Salesacceleration.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Tully, president of Sales Acceleration, here on Executive Leaders Radio, and this has been your Business Spotlight.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Greg Prasky, co-founder and CEO of ARG. Greg, what is ARG? What are you guys doing?
ARG is an advisory group that we help companies navigate these new technologies, take advantage of them to help their businesses thrive and grow.
And how large or how small is this team?
We're 70 people with about 4,000 clients.
70 people, 4,000 clients. How old is the business?
27 years.
And how did you get a job with this company?
Started it.
You started it. Okay. Where'd the venture capital come from to start this business with 4,000 clients that's 70 people?
That's just pledging everything I had, the house, the IRA accounts.
So you really went at risk with this thing, and how many brothers and where are you from, and how many brothers and sisters?
Well, I'm from San Lorenzo, California, and I'm the sixth of nine kids.
What was the effect of you growing up number six of nine?
Well, it was a large family. You're always competing. You have to be terribly organized, just a lot of action.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Greg, in fact, I think you said you had to be organized to exist a little while ago. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, if you can imagine 11 people in one household of modest means, if you're not organized, chaos will rain down.
And what would happen?
I never knew because my mom was extremely organized and kept it well structured.
So how does that play out for you today?
I kind of approach business the same way. It's without organization, processes, chaos will rain down on us.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Brian, what are you thinking?
Yes, Greg, you obviously put a lot at risk in starting your company. And you talked a little bit when you were younger, because I was asking you questions about, hey, where does this risk quotient come from? You talked a little bit about how you felt like when you moved from the West Coast to the East Coast when you were younger, you had to put yourself out and sort of risk yourself at that point in time. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a little bit. Growing up, very comfortable in the early years, but we moved when I was 11, and the world changed. And so coming into a new community, had to reestablish myself, and so had to go take some risks that I never did before.
And what did you learn from that experience?
That risks aren't a bad thing. Change can lead to better things happening.
And do you think that that lesson, you were able to take that lesson and bring it forward with you to as you went into the business world?
Absolutely. So as things change, which being in a technology business, things change regularly. So adapting to change is real.
Mm-hmm. Shirley, what are you thinking?
So at the time, 27 years ago, you decide to start from scratch, having a wife and two young children, and it takes a lot of character and strength to take that risk. Tell me a little bit about the conversation that was happening with your wife and yourself during that time.
I have a phenomenal wife who's extremely supportive, but certainly a little scary with young kids. To me, it didn't feel like a risk. Growing up, I had a father who really drilled into me that if anybody else can do it, you can do it. So taking something on, that didn't feel like a risk.
When you say he drilled it into you, what are you talking about?
That was just the conversations. As you look around, if
Did he say it to all nine of you or just you?
He said it to all nine, but I heard it real loud and clear.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
It just resonated with me.
What resonated?
That if somebody else could do it, then I started to believe I could do anything.
What's that have to do with building this business?
Being able to be that person to instill in our group that, yeah, we can do anything. We can help.
Does that mean that you have answers for everything?
No, not answers for everything, but we can approach anything reasonably. I think we can help our clients access things that any other company can access.
So when you get the confidence your dad gave you wasn't that you could do it all yourself or that you had all the answers.
Right.
It was what?
It was to learn what was it that allowed them to do things. So in our household, debate was a sport. And so he would challenge our thoughts. And so you learn why somebody could do something.
Uh-huh. Paul, what are you thinking?
You talked about your dad saying to you that you could do it. What do you think he really meant by you can do anything, if anyone, you? What do you think he meant by that when he says that to you guys?
I think he was just encouraging us, don't be fearful. Go step out there. You're not the first person. If somebody's done it, you can do it too, so why not give it a whirl?
Matt?
Have you ever delivered that same message to anyone else in your career?
Oh, maybe a time or two, much to the chagrin of some of our people who've been around quite a few years at our company.
How do you think that makes your team feel?
I think reassured. We see that constantly.
Do you have a lot of turnover in your company?
No.
Why not? Because, in the technology industry, there's a lot of turnover. Why is that not the case with you guys? It's because your people feel confident, because you give them confidence?
I think they can realize their potential, and I think we all want to.
What was that again?
They can realize their potential.
What's the name of this company again?
ARG.
What's your website address?
MyARG.com.
Let me have that again.
MyARG.com.
And you help your team manage their, help them realize their potential. We've been speaking with Greg Prasky, co-founder and CEO of ARG here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Pat McGuire, president of Trinity Washington University, Betty Buck, president of Buck Distributing Company, Shannon Steen, executive director of Carpenter Shelter, and most recently, Greg Prasky, co-founder and CEO of ARG. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Matt McDarby, Specialized Sales Systems, Paul Graham, Cressa, and Shirley Mowry, Hertzbach & Company, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. And the website address for Pretoria Law, where we're broadcasting from today, is?
Pretoraelaw.com.
Yeah, it's Pretoria Law. Thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Well, we nailed it.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,